morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to read to you a few verses from the Bible, verses of challenge, verses of warning, and words of encouragement. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. But oh, friends, when we look around us at our present generation, what a generation of fools we've become. How morally blind and inept we've become. How unaware of the voice of conscience. Unaware of the law of God and the mind and the wisdom of God. Here is the words and the wisdom of Solomon. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is the beginning of understanding. But our friends, by nature, how far we are from the truth, how far we are from the wisdom and the mind of God. So quickly we're led away and we're led astray. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, that is understanding. But oh, friends, where is our wisdom? Where is our knowledge? Look at the cleverness of psychologists or psychiatrists. It's powerless to draw us away from the addiction to sin. By nature, we're slaves of our own lusts and passions, drawn away from holiness, drawn away from righteousness, drawn away from the things that please and honor God. And we live like wretches, slaves to our own lusts and to our own passions. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy, there is understanding. Oh, friends, what a tragedy to give your hearts to the folly of this present generation, to follow down the tide to the broad way that leads to destruction. What a foolish and a sad thing it is to give your heart to folly and to sin, to live like a slave of your present evil lust. Hear again the words of Solomon, the call to spiritual treasure, the call to spiritual beauty, the fear of the Lord, there is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy, there is understanding. Oh, friends, you can be a bookworm through the days of your life. Know so much, have so many PhDs and degrees. But where is your wisdom if you don't know God? If you don't know the law of God, don't know what pleases God, what angers God. Where is your wisdom, friends, if you don't fear God inwardly? The fear of the Lord, there is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy, there is understanding. But oh, friends, by nature we're fools. We don't know what we're stumbling at life. Don't know the snares of sin. Don't know the terrible tragedy that awaits those who live a life after the tyrant of self. Oh, friends, well, what are you giving your heart, your life? What are the idols of your heart this morning? Football, pleasures, the here and now, a good home, a good car. These things snatch your heart away from devotion to God and to the knowledge of the holy. The fear of the Lord, there is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy, there is understanding. Oh, friends, give your heart to seek out God, to seek out His will and His wisdom, and in Him you'll find life and mercy. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the prophet Ezekiel, where he says this: cast away from you all your transgressions. Friends, when God looks at our life, what does He see? A shipwreck, a sorry mess, a sorry state of affairs. He looks at our hearts, looks at our words, looks at our desires and the inward person, and oh, friends, He sees a horrible car wreck, a mess, a swamp of evil thoughts and desires. This is how God sees our hearts. And yet here is the call of the prophets: cast away from you all your transgressions, make you a new heart and a new spirit. Where is the power to find a new heart? Where is the power to find a new spirit? Only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in the Savior, that glorious, long-promised Messiah. There is life. There is power to wash away the dark stains of sin from our hearts. Here again, friends, the words, the call, the command of the old prophet: cast away from you all your transgressions. Don't let iniquity be your ruin. Don't you see, friends, how sin is degrading you? How it's defiling you? How it's rotting your heart? How it's taking away your principles, rendering you fit for hell? Oh, friends, don't you see the awful consequences of sin in your own lives? Wake up to righteousness. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Seek His grace. Seek His pardon. And seek His power before it's too late. Oh, friends, the prophets saw our hearts, saw our lives so clearly, like a map, like a sat nav. They see our hearts from the inside. They see the awful consequences of a selfish life, of a life lived for pleasure alone. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Here again, friends, the words of the prophet Ezekiel, penned centuries before the birth of Christ, yet so relevant to Croydon in 2008. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, says the Lord God. Wherefore turn you and live. Turn from your sins, he calls. Turn back from a life lived for self. Turn back from a life lived for pleasure. Seek his grace. Seek his pardon. Seek his wonderful wisdom and mercy before it's too late. Go to that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him you'll find life and power to wash away sin, to cleanse us and to bless us and to give us life. Hear again, friends, the words of the prophet. Cast away from you all your transgressions. Why will you die? What is this death which has seized hold of your hearts, friends? A love of sin brings poverty, brings remorse, brings bitterness and sadness, degrades and defiles and weakens the spirit, makes the conscience hard, makes our hearts weak and stubborn. But oh, friends, look at the cross. There are the arms of God himself outstretched toward us. His mercy, his power, his great passion and love for us. There at the cross is a great solemn warning to us of the penalty of sin. There is the great invitation of the heart of God to find mercy before it's too late. Oh, friends, what are you doing with your lives this morning? Living for self? Living for pleasure? Living for sin? Things that will degrade you and ruin you. The prophet says this, don't let iniquity become your ruin. Look at the consequences of a life lived after sin, friends. Look at the awful reality of a sinful, crooked life. Come to Christ. In the Lord Jesus Christ is power to bless and to wash, to take away this bondage of sin within, to make us his own. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in that cross, is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Oh, friends, what a tragedy that we despise the wisdom and the patience of God. What a tragedy that we turn away from the one who would bless us and guide us and keep us. But just as Jesus said, we'd rather have the darkness than the light of truth. Rather have our own sins, clutch onto that excuse of evolution, and know the wisdom and the power of God. Know a clean heart and a pure life. We'd rather have sin than know the glory and the goodness of God. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the things that anger God, the things that defile us, degrade us and ruin us. Look at sex outside of marriage. How it wrecks the family. How it rips apart the fabric of society. Look at sexuality. How it distorts and makes a person crooked and weak and poor. Oh, friends, what tragedy sin reaps in our lives. Don't let iniquity become your ruin, he says. Don't sow wind and reap the whirlwind. Oh, friends, turn away from sin. Turn away from the things that harm and degrade and weaken the spirit. Come to Christ. Come to the cross. In him is life. In him is mercy. And in him is glorious power to bless and to change. In that promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, foreseen and foretold by the Hebrew prophets for centuries before he came, there is the Prince of Life. There is the Lord of Death and the Lord of Life. Who else, friends, came back from the tomb? Who else has power to raise the dead to life? Who else has the power to make the crooked straight? Who else has the power to make a defiled spirit wash an unclean heart, or take a deceitful tongue and make it honest? In the cross of Christ, there is the glorious power of the Holy Spirit to bless and to transform. Take the filthiest heart in Croydon, the most crooked spirit in Croydon. There at the cross of Christ is power to straighten and to bless and to redeem. Come to Christ. Don't despise his goodness or his patience. Oh, friends, turn to him before it's too late. I'd like to read to you too from words written later in the same book where the prophet says this. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God has no delight in destroying us, in damning us, in casting us away from his presence. But oh, friends, by nature we are evil. By nature there there is a wickedness deep within us, a stain of sin, a bondage that holds us far away from God. By nature, we're children of darkness, far away from His grace and His light, far away from His benevolence and His goodness. By nature, we're children of the curse, children under His anger, fit only for banishment from His presence. But again, friends, here is His invitation. Here is His warning. Out of great passion for us, out of His great love for us, here is the call and the invitation of the Almighty God. As I live, says the Lord God, turn you, turn you. Why will you die? What is this strange death wish that takes hold of us? That we'd rather have sin than know the righteousness and the mercy and the favour of Almighty God. What is this tragedy, friends, that we'd rather enjoy pleasures for a few short moments than know the everlasting communion of God, to know the power of prayer, to know the real joy of worship, to know the pleasures of a spiritual life? Oh, friends, you've taken the Christmas wrapping paper and thrown away the gift. You've taken the ceremonial, you've lost the substance. In the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross, there is the gateway to everlasting life. There is the gateway to pardon and mercy and power. Hear again the words of the prophet. He says this: As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Christ calls us to repent. Christ calls us to turn away from the things that wound us, degrade us, defile us, weaken us, and fit us only for damnation. Oh, friends, turn back from the life of sin. Turn back from the things that God hates, the things that God has forbidden. Look at the awful consequences of sex outside of marriage. How it cheapens a man and a woman. How it degrades us. How it defiles us. How it brings us down, fit only for hell. Oh, friends, turn away from sin. Turn away from the things that will damn you, that will destroy you, that will render you unfit for His presence. Seek His grace and seek His power before it's too late. Again, hear the words of the prophet. He says this: As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his evil way and live. In Christ there is life. In the cross of Christ there is mercy. In the cross of Christ there is a glorious redemption. Power to wash us, power to bless us, and power to change us. As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his wicked way and live. Again, friends, I'd like to read to you from the scriptures, words of promise and words of encouragement. When the Lord says this in Ezekiel, then I will sprinkle clean water on your hearts, and I will take away, you'll be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols. Don't you know, friends, in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a fountain of life. Power to wash and to cleanse. Power to take a gambling spirit, a deceitful spirit, a foolish spirit, a proud heart, and make it tender, make it humble. In the cross of Christ is life. In that glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're about to remember next week, there is life. There is a glorious fountain of life for those who come. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've been. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to bless and to wash and to cleanse the foulest person in Croydon. In the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great liberator from sin. One with power to break the chains of pride, or of lust, or of uncleanness. Oh, friends, look at your heart as God sees it. See the filth and the uncleanness that God sees there. Turn to Christ. Turn to the cross. Wash away your sins in Him. Look at His wounds. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ have to die? Why did He suffer on the cross? Don't you see, friends, there is the great Lamb of God. There is the great Passover. The one who spilt His blood that we might go free. The one who paid the penalty that we must pay if we go to God impenitent and hard-hearted. Don't you realize, friends, the wages of sin is death. The reality is, a life lived for self ends up in remorse, ends up in bitterness, ends up in banishment from the presence of God. But in Christ is life. In the Lord Jesus Christ is mercy. In the Savior there is cleansing and washing from sin. In the Savior there is a glorious inheritance and a wonderful treasure. Come to Him that you might live. Come to Him that you might have mercy and life. Why live for sin? Why live like a pig wallowing in the mire? Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Turn to Him while there's still time. Call upon Him for mercy. Oh, friends, hear again the call of the prophets. Turn you, turn you. Why will you die? Why let iniquity be your ruin? Seek Him, friends. Seek out the mercy and the power of God to change us, to bless us, to wash us, to give us, to make us fit for heaven, to give us an inheritance with the saints. Oh, friends, by nature we're crooked. By nature we're defiled. By nature we're far away from His presence. By nature our hearts are full of the stains of sin. But in Christ there is glorious mercy. Power to wash us, power to change us, and power to bless us. Come to the Savior that you might have life. I'd like to read to you too from words from the Gospel of Mark where he said this: "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, the same shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall find it." Oh, friends, what are you doing with your life this morning? What are you doing with your strength and your gift this morning? Squandering them on self? Don't you realize how frail life is? Don't you realize how short our existence is on earth? Like a spider's web, like a morning cloud that passes away, like a tale told by a fool. That's our earthly existence, like a brief handspan. Why, friends, live for this present evil age as though this is all we had? Come to Christ. Follow the Savior. Come to the one who has the words of eternal life. In the Savior, there is life. There is mercy. There is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us His own. Hear again, friends, the words of the Savior. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What are you doing with your life, friends? With your gifts, with your blessings, with your benefits, with your family? Squandering it on self? Squandering it on the here and now? Seek His grace. Seek His mercy before it's too late. Don't you realize, friends, the Savior weeps over Croydon, sees our wickedness, sees our folly, sees our blindness, sees the awful snares awaiting us in life, weeps over Croydon, weeps over its iniquities, weeps over its folly and its darkness. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the things that harm and degrade and defile us. Make us unfit for His presence. Seek His grace before it's too late. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life. There is the gift of righteousness and the gift of power. The gift of a clean heart and a clean tongue. Oh, friends, by nature we're filthy, unclean, unfit for prayer, unfit for worship, under God's anger and under God's curse. But in the cross, there is a way of reconciliation. There is a path back from the dark paths of sin. In the Savior, there is glorious liberty and life from the bondage of sin. Why live like a slave when you can be liberated by the Savior, the one with power to bless and to heal? Again, the Savior said this: "What shall it profit a man if he give his hot, if he gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" What a tragedy, friends, to give our hearts to possessions, for the here and now, and to neglect our eternal spirit, to neglect our eternal destiny. What a tragedy, friends, to give our hearts and passions to the here and now, to live as creatures of the senses, to live as creatures of the here and now, to live earthbound creatures, not to know the power of the Holy Spirit, not to know the blessings of a spiritual life, not to know the inheritance of heaven, not to know the meaning and the purpose of life. Oh, friends, you're just a higher animal, living out your life on the here, on the earth, just for the here and now, unaware of the purposes of God, unaware of the presence and the majesty and the power of Almighty God. Hook, line, and sinker. Suck conquered by evolution, bound over by lies and deceit. Oh, friends, wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Turn away from the things that God hates with all his being. Oh, friends, turn away from iniquity before it become your ruin. Seek his grace and his mercy and his pardon. Again, the Savior said this: whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Look at Christ, friends. Look at his cross. There is a great glory for us. There is a great treasure. There is a great spiritual possession to take hold of. There is the door of mercy and pardon. By nature, we're ashamed of God. By nature, we run a million miles rather than talk about the purpose of life, or the power of prayer, or the reality of holiness. By nature, we're fools. By nature, we're bound over to Satan's way, puppets of this present evil age. Oh, friends, wake up to righteousness. Wake up to his goodness before it's too late. Turn away from the things that will ruin you and disgrace you and discredit you. Seek his grace and his power before it's too late. Again, hear the words of the Savior: whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation. Christ's own generation was far purer than ours. Look around you, friends. Look at the awful human tragedy of families torn apart, of children being raised as brutes, as criminals. Look at the awful tragedy of sex outside of marriage. How it degrades and defiles and ruins the spirit. What a tragedy to live for self according to the lust of the flesh. Wake up to righteousness. Why live a slave of Satan? Why live a slave of lust? Why live a slave of the evil one? Oh, friends, turn to Christ. Turn to the cross. Turn away from sin. Make a break with the things that God hates. Turn to him, and in him you'll find life and mercy and power. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Don't you know Christ is returning, friends? Don't you know, just as he came once in humility, so he must return in power and in majesty. According to the ancient Hebrew prophecies, just as he came once, humbly and simply as a babe, so Christ will return in glory and in majesty and in power. But oh, friends, where will we stand in his sight? How will we stand before those eyes with a flame of fire? How will we stand before the great white throne with lives like the lives we've lived? Lives full of wickedness. Lives full of sex outside of marriage, of gambling, of adultery, of homosexuality, of the things that God hates and the things that God warns us against with all his being. Seek his grace, friends. Seek his power. Seek his mercy before it's too late. Come to him that you might find life and power. Again, the Savior said these very solemn words: whosoever shall offend one of the least of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and he cast into the sea. What a tragedy, friends, to offend a child, or to discredit the gospel, or to remove the credence of God's word. But what dark and devilish unbelief has taken hold of our hearts. Oh, friends, in Christ is light, his power, his mercy. In Christ is the great position of souls, one with power to wash us, to bless us, to change us. But you would not come. There's the reality. We prefer the darkness of our own sin. We prefer the ugliness of our own spiritual indulgences. We prefer our own bondage to the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. We prefer sin to righteousness. What a tragedy, friends, to live as slaves of Satan, doomed to hell, under the curse and the anger of God. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Turn away from sin. Here again the words of the Savior. He says this: if your hand offends you, cut it off and throw it from you. Better to enter into life without one hand than to enter with a whole body into hell, where their worm is not quenched, neither does their fire die. Oh, friends, what a tragedy to live your life after self. Do speak to my friends over there. Do speak to my friends over there. Do have a chat with them. What a tragedy to live your life for self and at the end of life be cut off from God, the one who would bless you, the one who would keep you, the one who would enrich you, the one who would grant you wisdom and understanding. Why cut yourself off from the best of beings, from the glory of glory, from the great love of love, from the knowledge of peace and of joy? But oh, friends, what evil consequences follow from a life lived for self? What evil consequences follow from the tyranny of self? What terrible fruits we reap when we sow to the flesh? What corruption and darkness we fills our hearts and our beings when we live for our own selfish desires and attitudes? Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Don't live like a fool. Don't live a slave of Satan. Wake up to his grace and his power and his mercy. Here again, friends, words of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said this: "Oh, fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have written." Don't you realize, friends, the Bible is a legal testimony. It's a legal summons, sealed in the blood of its own authors so often. Here is a historical, archaeological, but inspired document of warning to us. A warning of the danger of ignoring the purpose of life. A warning of ignoring the purpose of God in our hearts and in our lives. Here again, friends, the words of the Saviour: "Oh, fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Don't you see, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ was spoken of for centuries before he came. What exquisite details, what portraits of his grace and his character, of his birth, of his genealogy, of his ministry, of his entrance into Jerusalem, are given in the prophets. In the Hebrew prophets is a detailed description of the life and death of Jesus Christ centuries before he came. In the prophets, there are descriptions like a videotape taken of the cross centuries before it took place. In the prophets, there are descriptions of the power and the mercy and the plan of God unfolded centuries before these things came into being. Oh, fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Here is a legal summons, friends, to righteousness, to life, to purpose. Here is a legal document commanding us, calling us to seek out the living God. And what have we done with our Bibles? What have we done with the Holy Scriptures? What have we done with the warnings and the promises of God? Allowed our academics to try and tear them to shreds. Let them gather dust on our bookshelves. Let our apostate clergymen dilute them and destroy them. What a tragedy, friends. In the Scriptures, there is God's voice to us. There is his call and his invitation of mercy to us. Come to him that you might have life. Don't you see, friends, those prophets spoke in exquisite detail of the nature of the life of Christ centuries before he came. Zechariah speaks of how he was pierced. Isaiah speaks of how he was wounded for our transgressions. Zechariah again speaks of the betrayal plague, 30 pieces of silver paid for the Saviour. Time and time again, the life and the death and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is spelled out in the Holy Scriptures. Centuries, hundreds of years, sometimes 1,000 years or more before he came. Oh, fools and slow of heart, not to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered? Don't you see, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came in order to die, in order to suffer, in order to bear the penalty of sin for those who seek him. Jesus Christ is the great peacemaker. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great Passover, the one who bears in his own body, bears in his own spirit, the awful penalty of sin. Why go to God unwashed, unprepared, unready for eternity? Why die in your sins, unprepared for eternity? Oh, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life. There is power to wash away our transgressions, to make us fit and pleasing to God, to clothe us with righteousness. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great physician of souls, the Lord of death and the Lord of life. Come to him that you might have life. Come to him that you might have mercy. Come to him that you might find the friendship and the power of Almighty God. Here again, friends, the words of the Saviour: "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no mercy. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way of pardon. We're left condemned, accursed, under the anger of God, fit only for banishment, Not only for punishment. Seek him out before it's too late, friend. Your sins will find you out. Don't you realize that? Your sins will find you out. God's eyes like a searchlight. He sees the things that happened 20 years ago. He knows the inward secrets of our hearts. Oh, friends, our sins will find us out. There's no escape from the searching eye of God. He brings into the open the things that have long been held secret. God knows us through and through. His eyes are like a searchlight, like a flame of fire. He knows us, and he will hold us to account. Oh, friends, seek his mercy. Seek his pardon before it's too late. But in the cross, there is his mercy and his power. There is the glory and the wisdom of God revealed. Ought not the Christ to have suffered and to enter into the suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The Lord Jesus Christ laid open the pages of the Old Testament, explained how it was he had to come, how he had to suffer, how he had to die, and what great benefits would flow from his death. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Seek him while he may be found. Oh, friends, turn away from the things that God despises. Turn away from the things that harm us, degrade us, defile us, and bring us down to hell. Wake up to righteousness before it's too late. Wake up to his grace and his power and his mercy before it's too late. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the Savior where he said this: "Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." When you come to the Bible, pray for light. Pray for help. It's a closed book until we come to it with a praying heart and a praying mind. Then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and he said, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Without the death and the resurrection of Christ, there is no hope. There is no life." Oh, friends, by nature we're dead in sins and trespasses, given over to our own lusts and pleasures, dead as far as God is concerned, dead as far as prayer is concerned, dead as far as worship is concerned, dead as far as holiness is concerned. Oh, friends, are you ready for hell already? So quickly, wake up to righteousness. Wake up to his grace. Wake up to that life-giving power of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. Then he opened up their understanding that they might understand, and he said this: "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." Why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to rise from the dead? In order to pay the penalty of our sin if we go to him. Live for self, friends, and you'll pay the penalty yourself. Your blood is on your own heads if you despise him, if you forsake him. Seek his grace. Seek his mercy before it's too late. Turn away from the things that degrade you, defile you, weaken you, and draw you down to hell. Oh, friends, turn to him for life, and for mercy, and for power. Look at the Savior. What were his glorious first words on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There in the white hot furnace of affliction, what was the heart of Christ toward us? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Don't you realize, friends, without the blood of Christ, without the death of Christ, there is no mercy, there is no hope, there is no healing for our crooked spirits. Without the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're doomed to hell, doomed to judgment, doomed to banishment from the presence of God into eternity. Oh, friends, do you think it was a light thing for the Son of God to bear in his own heart, to bear in his own spirit, the appalling weight of our sin if we go to him? Do you think it was a light thing for the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer and sweat in the Garden of Gethsemane, to plead with his Father that the cup might pass from him? Look again at the cross, friends. There is the gateway to paradise. There is the gateway to purity. There is the gateway to a holy spirit, a holy life, and a holy heart. But the tragedy for most of us is we have no heart to get it. We love our sins and we won't let them go, even if it means hell at the end of life. What a tragedy, friends, to live for self and to live for the pleasures of this evil world. What a tragedy to live like higher animals, with no purpose or thought for eternity, with no understanding of the purpose or the mind of God. What a tragedy, friends, to live away from the grace and the banquet to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him that you might have life and mercy. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the Saviour, where he says this: truly, truly I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to a very religious man. Doesn't matter how often you go to church or to the synagogue or to the mosque. Doesn't matter how often you go to the temple. Doesn't matter how often you pray. If you're not born again, if you don't have a new heart and a new spirit, how can you know the kingdom of God? You can't even see it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, friends, here is the great secret of the Old Testament, the teaching of the prophets, the teaching of the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a new heart. We need a new spirit. The old model is wrecked. The old heart is ruined. The old heart is corrupt and deceitful. There's nothing more deceitful than the human heart, than human nature. Nothing more corrupt in the sight of God. Nothing more wicked and foul in the sight of God than the human heart. We need a new heart and a new spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Until we go to him for mercy, until we seek out his righteousness and his power. Oh, friends, we're bound over to sin, slaves of Satan, slaves of our own foolish evil desires, and bound and held like puppets in the course of our own lusts and temptations. What a tragedy, friends, to live like a horse, blinkered all the way down its life until the end of days. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to his grace. Wake up to his power and his goodness. Turn away from the things that God hates. Oh, friends, before it's too late, seek after wisdom. Seek after righteousness. Seek after pardon and mercy. Turn to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him you'll find abundant life, eternal life, the purpose and the wisdom of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find abundant life, the fountain of life itself. In the Saviour, there is wisdom and grace and power for the foulest of sinners, for the foulest of hearts. Hear again the words of the Saviour. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't you realize, friends, by nature we're blind, unable to see the glory and the majesty of God, unable to see the purpose of life, unable to see the awful ugliness of our hearts before God. Until his Spirit takes hold of us, until he begins to work within us, by nature we're blind and foolish and ensnared by this evil world. Wake up to his righteousness and seek him before it's too late. Again the Saviour says this: except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No good being religious, no good going to church, no good going to the mosque or the synagogue if your heart hasn't been touched by his wonderful grace. No good, friends, going to Mecca or to Lourdes or to a thousand other places if your heart hasn't been touched by repentance, if your heart hasn't been melted by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. No good, friends, being religious if you don't know the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to bless and to wash and to transform a sinful spirit. In the Saviour, there is life, everlasting life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace with God. There is washing for our sins. There is cleansing from a filthy and a foolish heart. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the wonderful love of God revealed. Oh, friends, come to him that you might have life. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the Saviour, where he says this: he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Here is life, here is death. To know Christ, to know the purpose of his coming, to know the purpose of his death, there is everlasting life. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son of God shall not see life, but the anger, the wrath of God abides upon him. Oh, friends, what is your condition this morning? How do you stand before the Most High God? How do you stand before the God who is the judge of all the earth? How do you stand before the one whose eyes are like a flame of fire? Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to his mercy and his grace. Here again the words of the Lord Jesus. He says this: he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. Nice to meet you. You're welcome to speak to my friends over there. I won't stop now. Just over this. He that believes on the Son. Here is the way of life. Here is the open fountain. Here is the doorway to paradise. Here is the secret of eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, the one foretold and foreseen by the Hebrew prophets. In that Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the long-promised servant of God, there is life. Oh, friends, why live for self, for sin, for pleasure? As though these things will give you satisfaction in your heart, they'll bring the iron of remorse into your spirit after a few years. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to wisdom. Wake up to godliness, to holiness, to purity of heart. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's still near. Oh, friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of holiness, the way of power, the way of wisdom, and the way of life. Seek Him while He may be found. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that believes not the Son has not life, shall not see life, but the anger of God abides upon him. What grace, what sweetness, what power lies in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. What power lies in the cross to take a crooked, foolish, evil heart, wash it, purify it, and make it right in the sight of God. What power there lies in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to take a foolish, deceitful heart and make it honest. Give it integrity. Give it peace and power. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the way of life. Oh, friends, don't throw your life away on the pit. Don't throw your life away on sin. Don't throw your life away on self. Live for Christ. Live for His mercy. Seek His face before it's too late. Call upon Him while He is still near. Turn away from the things that displease and dishonor God. The things that will wound you and harm you and degrade you and defile you. And draw you away from His presence by degrees. Seek His grace before it's too late. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the Savior, where He says this: I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is light for our benighted spirit. There is understanding for our ignorance. There is wisdom for our folly. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the great light of the world. The one who penetrates our spirit, shows us our stains, shows us the filth and the uncleanness still resident within us. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is wonderful power to cleanse and to bless. Oh, friends, what kind of creature refuses the light of truth, or the light of conscience, or the voice of God? A creature that lives under a rock, perhaps. So are we by nature, when we refuse the truth of God's testimony, when we refuse the voice of His call, and His command, and of His warning. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is still near. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Oh, friends, in Christ is light for our darkness. In the Lord Jesus Christ is wisdom for our folly. In the Savior and in no one else, there is life for our deadness, righteousness for our sinfulness, purity for our impurity. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the light we need. Come to Him, friends. Why throw your life away on self, on sin, on sense? He that sows to the flesh shall reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to His grace before it's too late. Turn to Him that you might find mercy and power and grace. Again, I'd like to read to you briefly from the Savior's words, where the Pharisees said this strange way: this people that do not know the law are cursed. What a tragedy, friends, when we don't know the commands of God. We don't even know the Ten Commandments, let alone many other commands that follow. What a tragedy when we don't know God's understanding. What a tragedy when we give our lives to our own selfish folly, live according to our own selfish wisdom, a wise foolishness, a wisdom of this world that deceives and ensnares and defiles the spirit, that degrades us and makes us fit only for hell. Oh, friends, what a tragedy when we live according to self, harden our hearts in ingratitude, and live like brute beasts. Oh, friends, what a tragedy when we live our hearts in impenitence, when we give our hearts over to folly, when we don't know the commands and the call of God. What a tragedy, friends, when we don't even know the Ten Commandments, let alone live by them, let alone have them written in our hearts. What a tragedy, friends, when we live for self, live for after our own selfish lusts and pleasures, don't know the wisdom and the power and the mercy of Almighty God. Seek Him while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is still near. I'd like to read to you too from the words of the Apostle Peter, where he says this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins. Christ calls us to turn away from sin. Christ calls us to seek Him. Christ calls us to turn away from the things that wound us and harm us. Christ calls us to pardon and to mercy and to peace. Why, friends? Not for nothing the old prophets say, there is no peace to the wicked, says my God. They're like the troubled sea casting up its mire. What a tragedy to live like that. Godless, ungodly, unaware of the purpose of God, unaware of the wisdom or the power or the majesty of God. What a tragedy to live just like a higher animal, unaware of the purpose of God, unaware of the wisdom and the mind of God, unaware of the glorious love and tenderness of God, unaware of His wonderful patience with us, stored up over the generations. But all friends, a patience that is not infinite. It comes to end at the end of our lives. Wake up, friends, to righteousness. Wake up to His mercy and His power. Again, the Apostle Peter says this: save yourselves from this untoward generation. And the word in the Greek there is crooked, perverse, iniquity. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Why live like your friends? Why live like your family, friends? Why condemn yourself to hell? Why condemn yourself to banishment from the presence of the Most High by following the example of the godless? Turn away from sin. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, from this crooked and foul generation. Seek His mercy. Seek His power. Seek His blessing before it's too late. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Don't think, friends, all things have always been like this. Don't think that perversity has always reached such a pitch. Don't think that sin has gripped the nation's heart as it grips it today. Oh no, friends. Turn away from sin. Turn to grace. Turn to life before it's too late. Seek His pardon and His mercy. Seek His washing from sin. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is life. There is power to take a crooked, perverse life, a homosexual life, an adulterous life, a gambling life, a foolish life, and wash it and cleanse it and bless it. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of the Holy Spirit to cleanse us and to change us and to make us His own. Go to Christ, friends. Go to Him freely. Go to Him with a humble heart. Go to Him with a broken spirit. Seek out His mercy and His power before it's too late. Turn to Him that you might have life and mercy and grace. Again, the apostle said this: this is the stone which you builders have rejected, which has become the headstone of the corner. In the Lord Jesus Christ, rejected by the Pharisees, rejected by every religious establishment, there is the headstone of the corner. There is the great foundation of God's purpose and plan. There is the great heart of God's mind, the cross, and that glorious work of the cross. There is God's purpose and God's building. Seek Him while He may be found. Call upon the Saviour while He is still near. Hear again, friends, the words of the apostles: this is that stone which you builders is rejected, which has become the headstone of the corner. In Christ is a foundation stone on which to build. Oh, friends, in Christ is a solid, eternal, lasting foundation, one in which to trust. Here is the purpose of life. Here is the heart of the wisdom and the mind of God. Here is God's goodness to us. Here is God's gateway into paradise. Seek Him and find Him while He is still near. Oh, friends, call upon Him while He may still be found. And again, the apostles go on to say this: neither is there salvation in any other under heaven, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we may be saved. Muhammad cannot save us from the grave. He's dead himself, overcome by corruption. Confucius cannot save us from the grave. He's overcome by death. His body rots. Every single spiritual teacher and prophet is overcome by the grave, save one. Look at Christ, friends. Look at the tomb of Christ. It's empty. Look at the power of Christ. Here is the Prince of Life, because he's the Prince of Death. Here is the one who passed through death and returned. Jesus Christ said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. He didn't say, I have the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ tasted death. He knew the reality of death. He was buried. He was brain dead. He was interred and buried for 3 days. But in Christ, his life, he rose from the tomb in power and in majesty. Where is the tomb of Christ today, friends? Empty. Here is the Lord of death and the Lord of life. Who are you going to trust to be your spiritual guide when it comes to the end of days? Are you going to trust Muhammad? He's dead and buried in Medina. His bones are rotting. Are you going to trust Confucius or Gautama Siddhartha? Are you going to trust these other spiritual teachers? Oh, friends, come to the living Savior. Come to the one with power to bless, the one sent from heaven, the one with power to heal us and to bless us. In the Lord Jesus Christ is life, everlasting life. He alone has overcome death. Jesus Christ alone died and rose from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross paid for our sins if we go to him. In him is that portal to eternal life. Come to him, friends, that you might have life. Come to him that you might find mercy. Come to him that you might know and taste the goodness of God's good power and the goodness of God's love. Oh, friends, why throw your spirits away? Why throw away your eternal destiny for a few scraps of the here and now? Don't you know how life, how frail life is? How empty life is without purpose, without the glory of God? How meaningless, how full of remorse and tragedy life is, like a spider's web, so easily torn down, like a morning cloud, so quickly passing away. Wake up to righteousness. Wake up to the eternal purpose of God for your life and for your heart before it's too late. Seek him while he may be found. I'd like to read to you finally from one verse from the Apostle Paul where he says this: in hope of eternal life with God who cannot lie, promised before the world began. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the sealing of a promise. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the fulfillment of an eternal promise. A promise made between the Father and the Son long before creation. God cannot lie. When he warns us about hell, he cannot lie. When he warns us about the consequences of sin, he cannot lie. When he warns us about the second coming of Christ, he cannot lie. When he warns us about the awful consequences of adultery, he cannot lie. Oh, friends, wake up to grace. Wake up to life. Wake up to his mercy and his favor. Seek him while he may be found. Turn away from the things that degrade and defile. Seek his righteousness and his purity and his power. Turn away from sin. Seek his grace and his kindness while he may be found. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul: in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Time and time again, friends, God's word has been vindicated. The things he foretold have come to pass. Time and time again, his promises have been proven and found faithful. God cannot lie. When he warns us of hell and of death, of a punishment, lived in sin, he cannot lie. He cannot alter his words. His words are an unalterable testimony to the truth of his being and of his character. God cannot lie. So when he promises eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, how we can put our lives and repose all our confidence in him. How we can trust in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his resurrection to save from hell and to save from death. Because we can taste the power of it today. Know the purity of heart that comes from following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Know the wonderful power of that entrance of light into our spirits, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Don't you know, friends, the wisdom and the power of God? Don't you know, friends, the wonderful grace and kindness of the Saviour in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? There is power to wash us, to cleanse us, to take a hard, foolish old spirit and make it young as a babe. Give it strength and power and blessing. Turn away from sin. Turn away from the things that wound and degrade. Turn away from unbelief, which is the crowning sin of all. Seek in Him life and righteousness and power. For His sake. Amen. Hello. Hi. What's your name?
I'm Kofi. Are you looking after me? I've had a high blood pressure. Would you give me a second tablet? It's not far, but about 2 days ago, it's just started to go up. But I think it's because I told you I was going to go to Ghana. And I think it's because of me.
Oh,
the
waterfall.
Yeah.
Well, you were due to come back to me after Ghana.
After Ghana, yeah. So when I come back, I was very impressed. I didn't know you.
It is a far more precious thing to be out here preaching the gospel than to be dispensing prescriptions.
I know.
Far more precious.
Precious, yeah.
You can touch an eternal spirit.
Nice of you. Nice to see you. I'll come and see you definitely when I come back.
Okay, good. Nice to meet you. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Charles. How are you?
I'm very well.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't hand over to you because I didn't quite know whether you wanted to preach or not.
No. I have an eventful time. We have flooded burst pipe, you know, where we live. And I was helping, you know, calling the fire brigade. They came in with sandbags and...
When did all this happen?
This morning. Sorry, 6:30 this morning. You know, I was helping my son Joshua as well, make sure he's alright, couldn't really leave him there because the back garden where he was about up, and all adjacent garden, like 10 houses, were completely flooded. I brought up Tempest Water, to see if I could call the fire brigade, which I did, just as well they came because well, 10 of them were pumping water out of the gardens and putting sandbags.
When I left,
the fire engine and Ted Gordon was still dealing with it. So anyway, everything give thanks. I've got some paper for you.
Thank you. I think if you don't want to preach, I'm just going to take another 5 minutes.
Yeah, I can't stay
while my voice can still hold up.
If you send a copy of that and pass it back to me, whatever it is, and you put me all this stuff here.
You don't mind if I fold it?
That's okay. This is, I got it from Northern Ireland.
Yep. Robert Remen, I know Robert Remen. He wrote the systematic theology.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd be interested to have a look at what he has to say.
Anyway.
Very good. Thank you, Sam.
May the Lord bless you and carry on. I appreciate your comments as well.
Can I just ask you to hold that for a moment, please?
Yeah.
I don't want to harm it.
The Lord bless you, my dear brother.
Thank you very much. God bless you too.
Bless
all be with you.
Yeah.
I think if you're all right, I'll preach for another few minutes.
Okay.
That's right with you.
How long have we been up here? An hour and a half. So we say 12:45 then, 10:12.
I don't think I can reach your call for now, but maybe fine.
We'll give out these messages. If we can, if we want, we can go that way. I'd like to pick up a pizza to give to the staff down in the...
think over it, Tim? Do we even think over? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to read to you a few verses again from the scriptures, words of warning and words of challenge from the apostles. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's word to us is very plain, doesn't flatter us, doesn't deal with a sweet tongue, deals with us in a very straightforward way, like a friend. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgiveness comes with cleansing. For those who confess their sins to God, in reality, in humility and power, along with that confession comes the power of cleansing and blessing. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But our friends, we're very clever at excusing ourselves, very clever at deceiving ourselves, very quick to think up excuses, very clever at escaping into some loophole of the law. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Oh, friends, if only we saw our hearts as God sees them. If we saw the reality of our spirits as the divine being sees them himself, sees the shipwreck of our lives, sees the deep roots of deceitfulness and uncleanness within our hearts and our spirits. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all kinds of unrighteousness. Oh, friends, in the cross of Christ, there is power to take away the worst of sins. In the cross of Christ, there is a fountain to wash the foulest clean, make us pure. You can take an adulterer, take a gambler, take an inveterate liar, make them clean and pure, as though they'd never sinned. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We don't kid God. We can't mock ourselves. We can't hide the reality from his eyes and from his sight. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Oh, friends, we're the worst victims of our own deceit. We're the ones who get the trouble. We're the ones who reap the harvest. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. When God's word resides in our hearts, it unveils our real state. It diagnoses our real condition. Searches us like an x-ray. Helps us to see who we really are in his sight. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Don't you realize, friends, the forgiveness of sin is not something free, not something cheap, not something easy as far as God is concerned. The forgiveness of sin is something he has pledged in some senses not to do. He will condemn sin. He will judge sin. He is angry with sin, and he will punish it. The wages of sin, the consequences of sin, is death. A life lived for immorality, for sex outside of marriage, for deceit, for folly, ends up in ruin, ends up in remorse, ends up up in the ashes of sadness and bitterness of heart. Those who despise the wisdom and the grace of God, oh friends, tragedy awaits them, remorse awaits them, a hard heart and a sorrowful spirit awaits those who despise the mercy and the wisdom of Almighty God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In the cross of Christ, there is the great fountain of life. There is washing and cleansing for our hearts and for our spirits. In the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the way of paradise, the way of purity, the way of holiness, into which a sinful person who loves sin will not enter. We prefer the darkness of our own folly, of our own selfishness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But oh friends, in the blood of Christ, in the cross of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to take the darkest, most foolish, most corrupt spirit in Croydon and wash it like a newborn babe. Make it pure, make it whole, give it integrity and strength. Again, I'd like to read to you from the words. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus Christ is the Son, that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Don't you realize, friends, in the Bible, in the Scriptures, is offered to us life and death, blessing and cursing, obedience and the natural way we follow so easily, the tendency of our own hearts to rebel against God. In the Gospel, in the Scriptures, is offered to us life in the Son of God, in that glorious promised Messiah. There is life, there is mercy, there is power to take a sinful, foolish spirit, wash it and make it whole. Why live a slave of Satan, a slave of selfish lust? Why live under the tyrant of self? Why live, friends, abandoned to your own lusts and pleasures, as though this life was all you had? Wake up to His grace and to His goodness. Seek His kindness and His grace at the cross before it's too late. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is power to wash us and to cleanse us and to make us fit for paradise. In the Lord Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross, by His resurrection from the dead, there is a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. There is the power of God displayed in weakness. There is the wisdom of God displayed in folly. There is a great fountain of cleansing for us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But oh friends, the faithfulness of God, the justice of God, demands the pardon and the mercy of those who go to the Lord Jesus Christ with a humble heart, with a seeking spirit. In the Lord Jesus Christ is the way of divine peace. In the Lord Jesus Christ is hope and power to take away our sin, to render us fit for heaven, to make us fit for prayer. By nature we're unfit. By nature we're defiled and unclean. By nature our prayers are rejected and cursed. By nature we live under the anger of God, under the cloud of His displeasure. By nature we live far away from His blessing and from His favor. The wages of sin is death. And oh friends, those who sow to the flesh shall reap corruption. So we reap day by day, week by week. But in Christ is life. It doesn't matter how dark, how foolish, how empty a life you've lived. In Christ is the gateway to life eternal. In the Savior, in the cross of Christ, there is a fountain open for the foulest. There in the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood can make the foulest clean. Oh, friends, come to Christ. Come to that glorious Savior from sin. Seek Him while there's still time. Don't throw your life away onto the eternal rubbish tip of hell. Don't throw your life away into eternal punishment and eternal banishment from the presence of God. Seek His wisdom and His righteousness before it's too late. Seek His grace while He may be found. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the love and the power, the wisdom and the glory of God revealed to us. There is the excellence of God's divine being unveiled in the person of His Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Here, friends, laid before us in the scriptures is the way of life and the way of death. The way of self and the way of righteousness. The way of purity. Here in the scriptures is laid out to us the way of banishment from God and the way of blessing and mercy from God. He that has the Son has life. He that knows the way of the cross, the way of his mercy and the way of his power, there is all God's goodness and heart revealed. Oh, why despise the patience and the gentleness of the goodness of God? Why store up wrath against the days to come? Why treasure up, friends, his anger against the day of his anger? By ignoring his mercy, ignoring his warnings, ignoring his favor and his wisdom. Seek him while there's still time. Why live like a creature of the senses, a slave of the here and now? Why live just like a higher animal with no knowledge of the purpose of life or the glory of God? Oh, friends, I look at my own family, my own brothers, my own father and mother. See them living for sin. See them ensnared by Satan, dead in sins and trespasses, unaware of why they're here, unaware of where they're headed, unaware of the purpose of life. And I weep for them. I weep for you. Why live a life like that? A life that's sowed to the flesh will mean corruption. You're welcome to talk. Of course it is. To enjoy God and to glorify him forever. There's the purpose of life. To glorify God. To know his power. To know his purpose. Here is the heart of our existence. The heart of our being. What's your purpose? To live for self? Eat, drink and be merry for tomorrow we die? What a tragedy to live like that. Like a slave of Satan. What a tragedy to live a creature of darkness. What a tragedy to not to know the snares of sin that lie before you in the years to come. What a tragedy to live a slave of folly. Seek his grace and his mercy.
You don't have to be sinful and you don't have to live for God. You can follow his rules.
Jesus said, he who commits sin is a slave of sin. Like a spider's web. Once you start lying, the tragedy is by nature we're slaves to sin. By nature we are bound in sin. But it's like lying. Once you start getting into lying, sooner or later the whole cobweb starts wrapping up your being and your spirit. Sooner or later, before you know it, you're lying to yourself as well as to others. And that's the kind of life we live without Christ, without his grace, without his power. It's tragic. Think about it. Read the Bible. There's a lot of wisdom in the Bible. Read it carefully.